Hebrews chapter 3, we're going to read the first six verses. Consider the builder. I believe that Paul wrote this book. Men argue about it, but my Bible says the Apostle Paul, so I believe the Bible. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now, that's very important. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he, and here's the text, this is the point of the message, as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. If you remember that with Christ, they always wanted the miracles. They were never interested in Christ. They were interested in the miracles. And everybody's always just interested in, what do I get out of it? Every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, now you get that? Whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. So I'd start with, as I generally do, who built your house? Who built your house? You see, we honor the house, but we seldom the one who built it. I don't know who Ridge, I know the company that, you think about a natural house. And we honor that house, and we paint it, and we do all sorts of things to our natural house, but we never consider who built the thing. It wouldn't be there if some man or someone hadn't built that thing. You see, we always admire the creation, always, but seldom the creator. And this is true in almost everything, in almost all things. Our children, you know when kids really like you? When you bring them something. That's when they just love you to death. When you bring them something, you see? They love gifts. We all did. We were all children. We love gifts. And so what does the parent do? They keep giving. Sometimes they spoil the child and they keep giving. But what of the giver? What about the giver, you see? Not the building, but the builder. Is not the breadwinner worthy of the more honor? As the elders used to be among us, the elders, you see. And this is perhaps the biggest flaw in our society today. That which deserves the honor. And sadly today, our honor goes more towards the creation, the gifts, than the giver. In God, both God and society. What wife doesn't spend more time on everything but her husband? I'm telling you. It's the truth. And the husband on everything but God. Do you see? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm not going to go in depth in this, but the point will get across. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 9. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Okay, so I ask you there, who's the building and who's the builder? And then if you look at verse 7, for a man indeed ought not cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, who's the building? Who's the builder and who's the building? But the woman is the glory of the man. Who's the builder and who's the building? I'm asking you. But no, it's the creation. All that's purchased. All that's built. The children aren't interested in parents, but for that which the parent provides. Now, they're children, so we let them off the hook on that. But that's the nature, that's a fallen nature from birth. Children are interested in what's provided for them. Mama, I'm hungry. Daddy, I want this. And I use that because we don't change, you see. It's the essence of the lost nature and the images provided. We gaze in wonder at nature and its majesty without fear, listen, of its creator. Isn't that an amazing thing? We have people worship without any fear for its creator. I see no reverential fear in parenthood anymore. I don't see it. I had a reverential fear for my parents. Did you know that? Not my mother. Sorry. But my dad and granddad, I had a reverential fear. I had a reverential fear for the men that were in my life. I mean, I had a good time with them, but I knew there was a line, and if I crossed that line, there was a line between us. And I don't see that in parenthood anymore. It's gone. It's disappeared from our society. And I don't see it, now listen, in religion. I can say unequivocally that without fear, there be no reverence. Now, I don't speak of fear, what you might call by retribution, but by honor and by reverence. You see, I don't fear God because of what he can do to me. That's carnal fear. But I have a reverential fear of God as the creator. A certain respect, a certain title. That's why I say the breadwinner. There's a certain respect. In Oriental societies, they still do this for the elder. There's still a certain, I suppose there is, I haven't been around Asians and Orientals since I left the West Coast as much and lived in the Far East. But in the day, George knows this, in the day, in those societies, there is a reverence and a reverential fear for the hierarchy in that family. Remember, the man is of God. The woman is of the man. Do you remember in 1 Samuel 25:41, my favorite lady in the Bible? Do you remember that? Let's look at it. Some will remember and some won't. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Verse 41, and Abigail, when old Nabal died, her husband, the Bible says, and she arose and she bowed herself on her face to the earth. Bowed her face to the earth and said, behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. That's an incredible statement. I don't know one wife who will wash her own husband's feet. I don't know one. Do you see that? Much less the servants. But what did our Lord do? What did our example do? Whose feet did he wash? You see, we're talking about the builder and we're talking about the building. There's a great point of obedience. Honor and headship here. And it's a point that's missing in our society, in our lives, in our church. In whose image were you created? I know. You may not believe it. I was created in God's image. Who do I reverence? God. Whose image was the woman created? Y'all don't know? The man. I don't see that. You see? But she shows him no honor. We've no order in our society as such anymore. Order and honor for the creation, not the creator. You see, our houses are in order. I bet everybody listening this morning, I've been in all your home's in order. Your cars, it's probably clean, running properly, it's in order. Our possessions, even our finances and such. But not concerning each other. Not the order for the builder, not the building. And that's why eventually that the brazen serpent, Noah's Ark, the Ark itself, and all these other things had to be destroyed. Do you know why? Because the people would go a-whoring after the creation, and they still do. The Creator forgotten. And they don't feel like that they're in front of the Creator unless there be an altar, or there be stained glass windows, or there be pews, or there be churches, or there be a so-called pastor in a robe, or this, that, or the other. The Creator forgotten. Men and women do such concern in their own bodies all day long. And it's always about created things. And the bigger and the better the church, the house, the building, the more they'll come. The more they'll be there. What woman doesn't want to marry the guy with the bigger house and the better prospect? Do you see? What guy doesn't want the better job, the better house, the better place to be? You see? And the more they get, the more they want. I received a gift the other day. And it's a very nice gift. It's a real heavy jacket and Cole's coming on. And it's very heavy and it's very warm. And I'll say that while this gift is really nice and practical, it's nothing to me compared to the giver. And I mean that sincerely. I've known this young lady for many years, and I think it's been over a year ago. And she said, "Man, I have a jacket for you, Smokey." She said, "I'd gotten it. It doesn't fit my husband." She said, "It's brand new, and I want to give it to you." Well, people, they seem to say things like that all the time. I mean, people say things like, "Hey, I'll call you later." No offense, Jeff. "Hey, I'll call you later. I'll call you." Okay, we do that. I'm not picking on Jeff. We all do it. But we never follow through, you see. But she honored her word. She honored her word. She brought me this brand new jacket. And while I love the jacket, it's going to be a wonderful jacket. But the very act, the building, you see, is not. But I like the builder. She brought it to me. That's far more special to me than the jacket, you see. The builder, not the building. The gift's very nice, but nothing compared to her kindness. Do you get that? Few do. We don't get it in religion. We don't get it in society. And that's why men are uncivil today. Their word's no good. They consider not the giver, but what they can get. They consider not the builder, but the building. And that's the way marriage becomes. And that's why marriages fail. And that's the way children become. And that's the way businesses become. And that's the way we conduct business becomes. I've told you before, the old preacher I gleaned the most from, when he used to enter the tabernacle, people would stand up. In the day, we read it, when the word of the Lord was read, the people would stand up and many shout, "Amen! Amen!" Not for the building, but for the builder. And the word was God. The builder, not the building. Ladies, do you look to your husbands as the builder? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the what? The Lord. And then not to let men off the hook, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, as their own building. You see. Children, obey your parents. Or maybe I should say their own builder. You know, the Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 4 says, He said, I found him whom my soul loveth. Not his money and not his goods and not what he did and not what he brought. Do you see? And it says, I held him. And I wouldn't let him go. I found him whom my soul loveth, and I held him, and I wouldn't let him go. Not interested in what he had for them, but him, not his building, him. And that's the way man should be in the Lord. That's the way the woman should be in the man. Consider the builder, not the provider, not what he provides. You remember our text, he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. I can only say amen. Amen. Now, I added a little prologue here. And I received this morning. I prayed about this thing with the pomp and ceremony. And we're going to read a few verses. We have time. Turn to Leviticus chapter 8. Verse 15 through verse 17. And to give you an idea of just a taste of what goes on in Leviticus, and this is just a small part. The Bible says, and he slew it, and Moses took the blood and put it upon the horns of the altar round about with his finger, and he purified the altar and poured the blood at the bottom of the altar and sanctified it to make reconciliation upon it. And he took all the fat that was upon the inwards and the caul above the liver and the two kidneys and their fat, and Moses burned it on the altar. But the bullock and his hide, his flesh and his dung, he burnt with fire without the camp, as the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord sent me back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, where many, many years ago, perhaps some of you remember, I'm reading this many years ago at a kitchen table in Silver Point, Mississippi, and I just broke like a twig. I broke and I bawled like a baby. In Hebrews 13, starting in verse 9 down through verse 16, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. You see that? Now listen, there's the answer. That the heart be established with grace, not with meats, not the building, the builder, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. He said, we have an altar. We do have an altar, but not the one down at the First Baptist Church or the Catholic Church or anywhere else, whereof they have, look, they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle, because they're serving the tabernacle. I don't know five people who know this doctrine today. I'm certain there are way far more. I don't know five people that know this doctrine. We, those in Christ Jesus, no longer serve the tabernacle, the building. We serve the builder. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, they're burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. You know why he had to go outside the camp? Why he suffered outside the camp? It wasn't because of the Romans. It was because of the religious folks, you see? And I see that plainly. I've seen it my whole walk. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice. Our sacrifice is what? Praise to God continually. And that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Not building, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And then that brings a great meaning and sense. If you go to Hebrews chapter 6, the first three verses, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. And so now this verse is not so troubling. Let us go on under perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. The doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, and resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. Not the building, the builder. Our religion today is yet stuck in what you might say Leviticus, in the Old Testament, in the First Baptist Church, in the Methodist Church, and in all these other churches. You see, the buildings. And they don't consider you in church unless you're in the building. You see, not the builder, not the author and the finisher. I've no desire whatsoever to ever meet in a so-called church building again. I don't have a desire to go to a funeral there. I don't have a desire to go to a wedding there. I have no desire whatsoever to sit in a pew and stare at stained glass windows and altars ever, ever again. Assembly, yes. But I find that not one time in the New Testament. Not once. Not ever. Outside the camp is not necessarily the world, so to speak, but it's organized, you might say, religional denominations and all their trappings. You see, my religion, my church, is Jesus Christ the Lord. The builder, not the building. The same yesterday and today and forever.